seems to be working now. It's probably human error, and by that I probably mean all of my error. Awesome. Well, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. I'm Mark. It's a pleasure to be back in the house. Seems like forever. It's like I haven't been here since last year, like most of you. 2026. It's a brand new year. And I promise not to keep you too long. No, actually, no, I'm not going to promise that. I've been known to lock the doors. Yeah, no, if you want to feel free to fall out the window, as happened to Paul, that's fine, okay? So, 2026, who's looking forward to it? Yeah, man. Hey, that was so special this morning, Fiona. And I totally agree, you know, our words have power. And I think we forget sometimes voicing our thanks and our praise of God out loud is just so important. And to be able to hear the things that you were praising God for, that was just such an incredible moment this morning. So thank you for participating in that, because we've all got so much to be grateful for, to be thankful for. Right, so, I mean, Christmas is over. Go to Woolworths. Hot cross buns are on sale already. Woo, Easter's here. Most of you are probably back at work. Kids aren't quite back at school yet. I'm so looking forward to that. I've looked at my class list for this year and I've gone, thank you, Lord. I know, looking at that list, the challenges that are coming into my classroom this year, and I am so looking forward to the Holy Spirit making a difference in their lives in my classroom. Before we know it, it's going to roll over into another day. Today will be finished. And last year's over, this year will be over soon enough, I'm sure. For some of us, it'll be very quick. Time seems to be flying. Did all your problems get solved? Did all your prayers get answered? Have your struggles all faded away into a distant memory, and now you're champions of your lives to infinity and beyond? Buzz Lightyear. Is this year already shaping up to be the same as last year? Better or worse? Have your dreams been fulfilled? Have you found your purpose? Are you excited for the new year? Or are you terrified? Or are you just numb from the perpetual cycle that life seems to throw things at you and you can't seem to shake it? Is your life looking to be a melting pot of all of those experiences? All are possibilities, I guess. So what have we got to look forward to this year? Well, we've got the Paralympics coming this year, the Winter Olympics, Commonwealth Games, the FIFA World Cup, the American election, the New Zealand election. Let me just say that God puts people in power. Our Bible, our word, the word we stand on says that God puts people in power and we need to pray for them. Not pull them down. Not go around telling them how useless they are. We need to be praying for them so that they can do what God has put them there to do, whether we agree or not. So, we've come a long way. 100 years. In the last 100 years, we've had the Second World War, we've had television, the first demonstration of the television, first two-way call across the transatlantic, first liquid-fueled rocket was launched. Now we seem to be shooting them off every day around the world. Hitler finished his draft copy of Mein Kampf in the last 100 years. Music, oh my goodness, have we been through some changes with music? Jazz, swing, rock and roll, country, bebop, rhythm, psychedelic rock, punk, disco, emo. Who remembers the emos? Grunge, and of course, the best of all, heavy metal. We've seen goldfish swallowing was a trend. People would put goldfish into cocktails and drink the cocktail with a live goldfish. We've seen phone box stuffing. We've seen the Harlem Shake. Who got involved in the Harlem Shake? No. I only just got back to walking this week. I'm not doing anything silly. One thing that I got involved in was planking. Can we show that slide, Eric? Who remembers planking? So there's me up the top of the forklift planking. So you had to keep yourself straight, and people were planking on police cars, on top of bus stops and all sorts of weird places. And that's the one I got into trouble for doing it in my workplace. Some things haven't changed. Some things have. Perforated toilet paper hasn't changed. That's still the same. Same design. Paper clips haven't changed. The safety pin. Who still uses safety pins? Yeah, absolutely. Cast iron pans haven't changed. They're still the same. Best way to cook. Our standard cutlery, our knife and fork and spoon, they haven't changed. Or even longer, what about the axe head? Remember Isaiah found it in the middle of the water? Yeah, lifted it out of the water. Dice haven't changed. They're still the same. Cooking meat over a fire. I was thankful that we were talking about meat this morning. Well, for those that I've already spoken to this morning, I've actually brought some homemade venison, sour cream and smoked paprika sausages for some. Meat is good. Now I've lost where I was. See what happens when you talk about meat? Sewing. We still sew. Drawing. No, from our pictures of cavemen hunting wild vegetables on the walls. What's one of the oldest things that hasn't changed? And that's storytelling. Sharing, passing on stories and knowledge verbally has been going on forever. As we look back over time, things we have changed. They've been improved, they've been replaced. Something newer, better, flasher. In the ever-changing world, how do we know what to hold on to? What to believe? Who? And here's where we start. Who is the most documented person in history? Who? Jesus. Who came second? There's a good general knowledge question. Can you literacy people? No. No, it wasn't. It was, according to the Library of Congress, Jesus is at the top, with nearly twice as many books, 17,000 in fact, as his nearest historical challenger, William Shakespeare. Yeah. So the Bible's accuracy is typically evaluated through archaeology, through manuscript reliability, and historical corroboration. So the New Testament, now there's a reason why I'm trying to get you to see that what we stand on is infallible. It is truth. It is something you can hold on to. The New Testament is supported by the 5,800 original manuscripts. The earliest within a generation of their original happenings and writings. They note that 99.5% accuracy rate across all copies. No major doctrine is affected by the little minor variations. And if we were all to see the same accident today out of there, maybe a red ute coming around the corner. Glad you guys are all okay. We would all have a different perspective on what we saw. We would have slight variations, but they don't matter. When you see those all together, you get a good picture of what actually happened. And that's why having many writers telling us the same story from a different perspective helps us to see that it's actually true. Those little differences don't matter. The Dead Sea Scrolls, discovered in 1947, showed a 95% consistency with our modern text, despite that thousand-year gap in its writings. Secular records, Josephus, a Jewish historian, Roman historians, Tacitus and Pliny the Younger, all talking about the things that we believe, acknowledging it, showing that it's true. Surveys of the Near East have often confirmed biblical descriptions of locations, routes, and maps. The Way of Horus, mentioned in the Bible, was discovered last year in 2025. It was confirmed. Science. Now, science, you can believe in real science or imaginary science. What you believe in is up to you. But it has been proved time and time again to fit the biblical narrative. The timing of the biblical narrative, not the timing of evolutionary. Well, one example that you can take away. The moon. Did you know that the moon, we're going to lose the moon? Did you know that? Because it's moving away from us at 3 centimeters a year. So one day we're going to lose it. But if it's moving away from us, that means that at some point it was closer to us. And if the world was as old as the billions of years they say it is, the moon and the earth would be one. And we know that's not true. When you look at the biblical account, the timing works. So, all that being said, God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That God in the Old Testament that destroyed cities, annihilated people groups, killed babies, flooded the whole world, used prostitutes to have his will done on this earth, is the same God we serve today. Why did he do those things? Well, that's my challenge. Go and read about it, look it up, study it, find out why he did it, and let's have a discussion about it. That's not for today. Because it's not just the nice fuzzy things that we have. It's not just baptisms, provision, healings, deliverance, supplying alcohol for parties that we read about. If it's true, then it's all true.
Amen.
If it's true, then it's all true. And because it's all true, we can believe it, we can stand on it, we can rely on it, we can fall back on it. We have everything that we need. So we come to Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Can we have the next slide? There we go, there's the biblical world. Ephesus is there. You can see Israel down here, Jerusalem down on the bottom right. Ephesus is actually part of Galatia. Can we have the next slide? Which is part of modern-day Turkey. So Paul visited there on a couple of times. What does Ephesus look like? Who can tell me? What do we know about Ephesus today? Next slide. There's the biggest amphitheater in the known world at the time. Look how big that is. Could sit 500,000 people. No, sorry, 50,000 people. I added a zero on there. Which I don't know why that matters, because zero means nothing, but 50,000 people it could sit. Next one. There's part of the walkways that are still left standing. It was quite an upmarket sort of town. A lot of wealthy people live there. Next one. That's actually part of the library that when Paul was in Ephesus, they reckon that the place where he often taught would have been next to that library. I think there's one more of the ruins is here. Yep, there it is off at a distance. So over time, it used to be a seaport. And over time, the silt that came down the river meant that the land went out and Ephesus ended up being about 5 kilometres from the shore. But back in Jesus' time, and back in the time when Paul's writing this, it was a major seaport. What would it have been like? What would it have looked like back then? Eric. The beauty of AI.
Ephesus was one of the 12 cities founded by Greek settlers in Asia Minor around the 10th century before Jesus Christ. In this area, the Aegean Sea occupied 8 kilometers of the current land, reaching a prosperous city blessed by its goddess Artemis, but also by the commerce between East and West. After centuries of fights and looting, since the year 133 before Jesus Christ, the city became part of the Roman Empire. After death, without inheritor, of Attalus III, the last king of Pergamum. Being ruled by Rome, the reform of the port began. A port that was more than just a way for the traffic of people and goods. It was also the monumental entrance to the city. The Arcadian Way is an almost 600 meters long avenue which connect the port to the theater. On the left side, we see the harbor gymnasium and baths, and further away, the Olympian and the district of Caressos. To the right, a parallel road led to the Serapeum and the commercial agora, ending with a gymnasium near to the theater. The theater was the center of Ephesus' social life, with up to 24,000 beholders, a three-floor scene front, and a privileged sight over the city. Leaving the scene to the south, we cross the Marble Avenue, which borders the commercial agora, to finally reach a space of great monumental richness. The doors of Maceo and Mithridates, which give access to the agora, and next to them, the Library of Celsus, with its towering 17-meter-high facade. Inside, there were about 12,000 scrolls in an 11 by 17 meters open room, which was fully coated with marble. Underneath, remains buried his patron. Here begins the Carites Avenue, with Hadrian's Gate, and illustrious tombs such as the Androclus I, and, probably, Arsinoe's I, the unfortunate sister of Cleopatra. There are porticos on each side and streets of insules, with several floors, staggered according to the mountain slope. Each house is usually organized around a central patio. And some of them, like this owned by Gaius Flavius Furius Apto, have a luxurious decoration of marble and mosaics. Going up across the Carites Avenue, to the left, we find the Temple of Hadrian, the Nymphaeum of Trajan, and, after passing the New Gate of Hercules, a funerary monument dedicated to Gaius Memmius. In front of a small square with two unique large spaces, a monumental facade of Atlanteans that support the upper square, on which the Temple of Domitian stands. And, to the other side, the Civilian Agora, with a temple, initially dedicated to Isis, this square of 160 by 73 meters housed the main political-related buildings. In its northern part, the most relevant one is the Odeon, the one with a semicircular shape. Built in the 2nd century, it was the meeting place for the town council and could hold up to 1,500 people when used for recitals or conferences. A little further to the north, we found other temples. The Prytaneus. Baths and houses climbing the mountain. And, on the opposite slope, the Caressos district, where the stadium and the Video Gymnasium are the starting point to the way that leads to one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Artemision. Built over a more modest, earlier one, the second Artemision is an Ionic and Diptera temple with a floor plan of 115 by 55 meters and 120 columns, almost 20 meters high. Ephesus really was a great city, with magnificent public spaces, but, if there is something to highlight, is the great cultural and artistic richness that came, once again, as a result of the meeting between the East and the West.
pretty wow, isn't it? You know, Paul was there. So the book, the letter to the Ephesians, written in about 68 AD. Most commentators will say that it's one of Paul's letters, but there is a little bit of discrepancy between some other commentators who think that it doesn't quite match his style of writing. Ephesus is the capital of the Roman province in Asia, significant centre of trade. The city lay in a long, fertile valley. Major roads connected to Ephesus. And all other significant cities in Asia Minor would end up going leading to through Ephesus. A population estimated of over 200,000. So if you think of Wainui and our little 20-odd thousand, 10 times bigger than Wainui. It was known for its amphitheatre, the largest in the known world at that time. The location of the great temple, Artemis or Diana, that was built in 550 BC. One of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Much of the Ephesian industry was related to the temple. Craftsmen sold their shrines and household images of the goddess that worshippers could take on their long journeys. It was a major pagan cult center, leading to a lot of clashes between the Christians who were evangelizing and those other believers. Riots are recorded in the book of Acts. Marble-paved streets, elaborate aqueducts, public baths, covered walkways, terraced houses showcased wealthy homes, while sundials and water clocks were an expression of your status. A bit different to today. Who has a sundial? Nobody? No one got a water clock? No well-off people here then. The grand public buildings, an economic powerhouse, a cultural hub, home to philosophies, education, public spectacles like gladiators and competitions. When we look at what's going on there, it's not a lot dissimilar to what we have today. Paul doesn't address the issues arising in the church as he does in other letters. This letter could have been for the church of the time and handed around. Some manuscripts don't have letter to the Ephesians at the beginning. It's a letter to the church more than 1900 years ago, and it is a letter to us today. Paul's in jail. He's under house arrest, having suffered already 5 Jewish floggings. So if you got 40 flogging in your flogging, that was considered you'd be dead after 40. He received 39 5 times. 3 Roman beatings, normally done with rods. One of them while he was locked in stocks. Stoned, he got stoned once. No, with rocks. Shipwrecked 3 times. Lost at sea. Frequent journeys. Dangers from rivers, robbers, countrymen, Gentiles, wilderness, the sea, false believers. Having many sleepless nights. Toil, hunger, thirst, cold, exposure from lack of clothing. And when you read his letters, you can feel the anguish in his heart for the church. And it's from this place that he writes to you today. As we leave 2025 behind us, with all that you've experienced, good and bad, all that has happened, everything that you've seen, you've felt, and experienced and known, 2025 is gone. That hardship, persecution, sickness, poverty, brokenness, loneliness, despite a lack of identity and purpose, despite being able to forgive yourself for the things that you've done, despite feeling weak, despite feeling powerless, being uncertain about the future and the way forward, maybe doubt. Doubt about God, his purposes for you, his existence, doubt about his interactions in your life. Doubt about the people around you, with your expectations on them, expectations on family, your church, your destiny. Guess what? You made it. You're here. Woohoo! Yeah. If I was in my classroom right now, I'd say, put your hand up in the air. Go and do it. Put your hand up right up in the air. Put it right down behind your back and give yourself a pat on the back. You made it. 202:6 is before you. It's before me. Can we together believe God's promises for us as Paul did then? So Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with," who can tell me? "Every," not some, not a couple, "every spiritual blessing in Christ." This verse is foundational for us as we go into 2026. Every spiritual blessing means nothing essential for our spiritual life, your identity, your relationship with God. Nothing's missing. Nothing has been withheld. Nothing has been stored up for later. It's all yours. Where the next one? Okay, you have. I've got 9 you have, so I'm going to go through really quickly. You can read these for yourselves in the amazing book, The Letter to the Ephesian Church. You have a new identity. Just as in his love, all my readings are from the Amplified. Just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself, his own children, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. Now, you can't earn belonging. You can't make it happen. You know why? You already belong. You already belong. You have been chosen and adopted into God's family. You can't say, "I don't have anybody." We're all here for you as God's family. We want to celebrate with you the good times and walk with you during the tough times. You never have to do this alone. Never have to do this alone, because you are not alone. And you are not a mistake. That's a word for someone here this morning. You are chosen. You have been adopted. You have purpose. Next one. The second promise that as we go into 2026, we have forgiveness and freedom. Now, we were at my son's church up in Auckland, and they sang the song, "We have freedom to be free." And I thought, that doesn't make sense. But then as we sang the song, it made perfect sense. Because sometimes we have freedom and we struggle to be free. Things hold us back. Our pasts, people around us, situations. But I want you to know today that you have freedom to be free. In him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation, through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon. That's a word for someone today. Complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Not anything that we've done, everything that Jesus has done. You are redeemed and you are forgiven. There's nothing that you have done that cannot be forgiven. You need to own that. Because there's someone here who needs to forgive themselves. Because you can move on into 2026 and not let that hold you back. Because it's guilt and condemnation does not come from God. Satan will want to hold you back, hold you down, make you feel less than. "Oh, Mark, remember when you did?" "Yeah, I remember that. God forgave me. I ask forgiveness of the people around me that affected, and I can forgive myself." We are redeemed and forgiven. Say that. I am redeemed and forgiven. believe it. As we go into 2026, that's a promise for you. The third promise that Paul gives us, we have the Holy Spirit. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the first installment, the guarantee, the pledge, a foretaste of your inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession. Christ has purchased you, all of you, to the praise of his glory. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, I could get a phone call and they could go, "You have just won $65,000. I'd be really excited. And then they tell me all about what I can spend it, and then they hang up. How do I get my prize? God is not like that. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, guiding, strengthening, and assuring us. Do you hear him speak? Do you hear him speak? Because you should. He's speaking every day. Every day. All the time. And that seal means you're his. The fourth promise that we get from Ephesians is we have access to Creator God. The God who created everything. Moved the stars into place with his finger. Spoke everything into being. For it is through him, Jesus, that we both have a direct way of approach in one spirit to the Father. We can approach God freely. We don't need to go and see Pastor Royce and go, "Excuse me, Royce, can you help me connect with God?" He will, but we don't have to. You have direct access. We don't need an intermediate person or thing in the way. We can reach out. Wherever you are, you can talk to God and he listens. We don't need special rituals. Although some of our rituals are pretty cool, like when we did Advent. You know, that was pretty cool. We don't need those to get to the Father. We are close to him through the Holy Spirit. The fifth thing that Ephesians promises you, new life and power. But God, being so rich in mercy because of his great and wonderful love, which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together with him when we believed and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. We are made alive with Christ. I think that's exciting. As we move into 2026, are you already feeling a bit humdrum? Well, no, you should be alive. There has never been a day like today before. There is not ever going to be a day like tomorrow. This year is going to stand out because there will never be another year like it. We are made alive to make the most of all that God has for us. We are not powerless or dead. We are spiritually alive and we have all that we need to make 2026 different to last year, different for you, and that everything that you need to occur will happen through Christ. Stick with him. Because the sixth promise we get from Ephesians is we all have purpose and calling. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Turn to your neighbor and go, "You are a work of art." We are created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking the paths which he set, so that we will walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So we're created for good works. What do you mean you don't know what you're made for? You're made for good works. Our lives have meaning and direction. God has meaning and direction for every single person in this room and listening on the interweb. Amen. You have to, even if you can't see that right now, God is preparing you. If I look way back when Fiona had a word for me to be a teacher, I laughed at her. I laughed. I felt a bit like Sarah and Abraham going, they're going to have children at 100. I laughed. I had no education. But through a series of things, as I followed God, as I kept connected to him, as I kept alive the spirit within me, and I listened and I heard and I obeyed, I became a teacher. 20 years? About 20 years later, eh? Incredible. That's why when Fiona says, I got a word for you, I'm like, ooh. I received the word you had for me this morning. The other thing, the other promise we can get from going through Ephesians is we have unity and belonging. Now, I know I'm going through these fast, but I'm expecting you to look these up and hold on to them for yourselves. So you then are no longer strangers or aliens, outsiders without rights or citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and it continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord's sanctuary, dedicated, set apart, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him and in fellowship with one another. That's why we come here. We're all adopted into the same family. We don't have to do anything alone. We're not meant to be alone or feel lonely when we've got beautiful people such as yourselves to reach out to and express your feelings to, so that we can get around. Man, I love life group. So reiterating what Phil was talking about earlier, if you're not part of a life group, I want to encourage you, find one. Get into one. The relationships that are formed in those small groups. Man, I would be lost without the life group I belong to, the people that are in it. They challenge me. Hey, Sharon. They do. They make... Because, you know, I'm not perfect. Hey, Joe, ask my wife, she knows. They help me to see things from a different angle. And when I hear of their experiences, it broadens my picture of God. There was a young man in this church gave a word many, many years ago, and he spoke about each one of us brings a jigsaw piece to the table. Your experience of God, Phil, is one piece. Tina, you've got another piece. Daniel's got a piece. Everyone's got a, and that one piece is our picture of what God is like. When they all come together, that picture of God is suddenly so much bigger. How do you know that? This morning, each one of you brought a piece of praise for God for what's going on in your life. That God suddenly went. It's amazing. We are not meant to walk alone. Not only do we need each other, we need each other. Another promise that comes through. As you read through Ephesians, you'll find that there is strength for your daily spiritual life. How am I going to do this? In conclusion, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and the power of his boundless might. His might's not going to run out. You got nothing that he can't pour his might into. There's nothing you can face or go through that his might can't overcome. Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier. Now you've got to remember, Paul's in house arrest. What would be standing outside his door? A Roman guard in armor. And he's probably looking at him going, oh, there's a message in that. There's an object lesson. And he writes it down for us. So that you may be successfully able to stand against all of the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened wide the band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace and preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we are given God's armor. You should have it on. Don't wait for a crisis to happen and go, oh, cracky. Okay? You should have it on now. You wear it internally all the time. Then you will be equipped to face temptation, doubt, and opposition. My last promise that I've taken from reading through Ephesians is, and there is more in there, I can assure you, and I really want to encourage you to find them for yourselves. Hope for the future. In him, we have received an inheritance, a destiny. We were claimed by God as his own, having been predestined, chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his will. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge of foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession, his believers, to the praise of his glory. We have an inheritance. You can't be ruled out. Someone else ain't going to get it. Someone's not going to get more than what you're going to get. Our future in God is secure. So those promises, you have a new identity, forgiveness and freedom. You have the Holy Spirit. You have access to God. You have new life and new power. You have purpose and calling. You have unity and belonging. You have strength for daily spiritual life. And you have hope for the future. You are fully accepted. You are fully forgiven. You are fully empowered. And you are fully loved in Christ. This means that our faith should shift from I must be good enough to I already have what I need in Christ. Can we have the next slide? You have everything you need. I have everything I need for 2026. There is nothing Satan can throw at you, put in front of you, that you cannot successfully defeat, because you have everything you need. How can anyone be against you when he is for you? ...2026 is going to be an exciting time, church. We've already heard today that there are new things for this year. Don't be afraid of the new things that God has in store for you this year. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous because God never seems to lay it all out there in front of you and go, there you go, Mark. That's where you're going. Because you know what I'll do? I'll miss out all the hard work bits and go right to the end and try and get the prize. Because that's what we do. But as Fiona had a word for me, see, I had no education. I ended up in Bible in schools as a teacher with my mate. Where's Calvin? Where are you? There he is. Sorry, mate, you're slimming down, mate. It's hard to see you now. You know, and so that was a first step. I had no education. Man, I went to university with no education. I had to learn how to learn before I could learn. But now looking back on 9 years of teaching and seeing the difference that God has made in me and that God has made in the lives of students coming into my classroom, it's amazing. God has nothing less than that for everyone in this room. So that one thing you gave praise for this morning will be on top of the other thing you want to give him praise for. And it'll become a bit of a battle because you won't know where to start on the things that you can be thankful for. You know, on Monday when I woke up, I couldn't even walk because I didn't listen to my wife. Now, I'm going to say this once. She was right. Okay? She told me that I shouldn't sleep on this bed at this B&B because it was too soft. And I'm like, I'll be all right. I wasn't. It absolutely crippled me. And I woke up on Monday and I couldn't walk. As I started getting deeper into my message, I found that, I'm not going to do too much of a jig just in case. But come Friday, I was back up walking around the house. I could move. And I give God glory for that. That which the enemy had sought to steal, kill, and destroy, God overcame that. And he'll do it for anything that you face, anything that you're still facing, anything that you're going to face. So my prayer for you comes from Ephesians as I finish. My prayer for you, that 2026, that you, hopefully you're feeling encouraged this morning because you have these promises to take you into this year. It's going to be better than any other year. God wants to do more with you than he has in any other year. He wants to impact this valley. Firstly, he wants to impact the people around you, your family, the people at your workplace, the people in your sports, the places, different places you go to, your hobbies. He wants to impact people around you, through you, in the places you go to. I mean, I think there was only 12 at the beginning. And look what's happened. Imagine what he could do with this room in this valley in 2026. It's awesome, eh? It's awesome, eh? God is awesome. Only on days that end with the letter Y. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, yeah, today, yesterday. No, tomorrow doesn't end in a Y. But it's right, when it gets here, it'll be today. Hey, good day, bad day, happy day, sad day, every single day, God has got you. And those promises that we've been through are there for you every single day. We can be victorious in 2026. We can overcome anything in 2026 because we firstly have the Holy Spirit and we are sealed in God and because we have each other. My prayer for you comes from Ephesians as I finish. And so that you will know, begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet and appointed him as supreme and authoritative, head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you are with us as we walk out of here in 2026. Praise you, Jesus. Ngā mihi. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Amen. Wow.